Hi, my name is Jeff Deal. I'm the producer of the Are You Serious show. It's come to our attention that there are problems with our subscription feed, and particularly with iTunes. Please visit our homepage at areyouseriousradio.com for instructions on how to guarantee that you will never miss an episode again. Thanks for listening, and now on with the show.
Coming from the Lower Haight in San Francisco, it's the Are You Serious show.
Are you serious?
I'm Are You Serious, and this is my show.
Recording.
Welcome to show number 20. Yep, that's right. We're making our way through our 20th show. I don't know, what do we have to show for it? What do we got?
Double digits.
Yeah.
That's true. No awards yet.
That's coming.
We have won no awards. I had a great time. The last show was really fun, actually. Those guys were funny.
Those guys were great. They need their own show.
Yeah. And my brain would not make its way to my tongue during the last show. And I had a great time, like, trying to say literate and going, writers. I was, like, doing a total George Bush. And I wasn't on drugs, but maybe that was the problem. Anyway, we've got the Evolution Control Committee, trademark from the Evolution Control Committee coming in today.
I have so many questions for him.
Anyway, it's great to see both of you guys here today.
Hello.
Jeff
Hello.
Deal is Hello. Back. And Diana Brown. Welcome, Diana.
Hello.
Welcome. Come right in. You can't afford to miss this. Step right up.
Today's the first day of the rest of your life, baby. Or the last day. Whoa.
7 years of war, famine, disease, natural disasters, and eventually the end of the world.
I'm fresh back from a recording clinic actually led by Jeff Deal, and I recommend anyone out there who's podcasting to take this clinic. But more about that later. I want you guys to know we have a new frontier. Space has become the litigious frontier, or perhaps it's just monopoly through 2011 and beyond. But it seems that Space Exploration Technologies, also known as SpaceX, which sounds like a superhero, is suing Boeing and Lockheed Martin in federal court, accusing them of conspiring to violate antitrust laws. So what do you think about that?
Well, it's a little bit hard to tell what they're accused of monopolizing. They're accused of monopolizing spy satellites.
Well, basically, it's pretty interesting.
Space programs.
Boeing and Lockheed Martin together really hold precedence in the arena of rocket launchers. Right. So they're proposing an alliance. And if you remember in Star Wars, the alliance wasn't necessarily a good thing. But
or in Serenity.
Yes.
It's not good at all.
See, so these keywords you've got to keep an eye on. But right. They have formed the alliance.
Have you guys seen Serenity, by the way?
No.
I have not.
I didn't even know what you were talking about.
Hip us to the Serenity.
It's the Joss Whedon movie based on, you know, Firefly, the show that he did, the sci-fi show that he did.
We love I've been reading about that, yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Anyway.
Well, all right, related. So thank you. So they have actually...
The old guys are putting together the alliance.
That's right. Boeing and Lockheed Martin.
The vested interests.
Exactly. And they're going to call themselves the United Launch Alliance. And now, this would end nearly a decade of rivalry between these two. So these giant pirates would be working together.
So they're scared
together.
Of the new guy.
Exactly. And this new company, they charge that Boeing and Lockheed Martin, they recognize the threat posed by SpaceX's, and I love this phrasing, developing family of low-cost launch vehicles. Doesn't that make it sound warm and fuzzy?
That's so sweet. I think I know somebody who's working on this, actually.
Do you?
Why don't they just call them jalopies?
Because they're swell. You know, it's like taking your Woody to the beach.
Or cuddly rocket launchers.
That's right. They're cuddly rocket launchers. Mm-hmm. They're an alternative. And they say, they being SpaceX, they charge that these two giants... have strong-armed the Air Force into an exclusive launch contract through 2011 and beyond. Now, Boeing, they feel quite confident as the FTC is conducting their antitrust review of the proposed alliance. The spokesman from Boeing, Dan Beck, was quite confident the alliance would be approved. However, citizens' watchdog group, Citizens Against Government Waste, an interesting name I rather like, they urge strongly against it, and their president has been quoted as saying, the structure slams the door on any possible competition.
Now, Lockheed must own, like, 90 senators at least.
At least.
I mean, they have been...
I think they have a whole collectible set, really.
They've been financing the entire political system since...
Now, they do propose that this would save the United States government $100 to $150 million.
The alliance.
The alliance would save the government that money.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in general, I'm not generally for monopolies or against the breaking up of monopolies, but in this case, I don't know how beneficial it is for the human race to be encouraging competition in the field of rocket launching.
I think that's most salient point.
It is.
Maybe there should be a high cost, and maybe it should be limited in its options. But I don't know. Whenever you have monopoly with in tandem with government, you get secretive stuff. And stuff.
Yeah. Although that's going to be there. Great anyway. Names.
I'm
I love
all
the
for
names.
Independent space programs. I'm not so high on spy satellites.
Because we're talking about here is a private company supplying the government with rocket launchers or whatever those things are. But it's not quite the same as like an independent private space company, which I guess they're doing some space type stuff on their own as well. But they want a bit. Yeah, because if you're going to be doing U.S. government work, that means you're going to be doing spy and military stuff. So.
Well, indeed, that SpaceX says it's already has a contract for their first Falcon 9. That's the name of their launcher, the Falcon 9.
Right.
And it was awarded by an unfortunately not. Well, they're armed with
the
teeth.
That's a good slip.
I think so. The U.S. government customer that some analysts believe is an intelligence agency. We're surprised to see that, aren't we?
See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if they really think that they are an independent company and they're doing things new, they shouldn't be sidling up to the government tit. You know what I mean? Do your own thing. Don't be, vying for subsidies already.
It's
corporate
just that
welfare.
The government is the biggest customer right now of their product.
That's why, I thought that was the whole point to this private space.
These independent guys, they're mercenary in their way. You know, Ronin mercenary types.
I think you're right on that one.
Absolutely.
But the names are good. The names sound like
I may
know,
be able to get us
ships.
Some. I'm able to get us some inside poop on this. Maybe even get them onto this other fine show on the Neophiles on the Mondo Globo Network called
Neophiles.
Yeah, I may.
I like that show.
What do you mean, like a NASA guy or the guys from his company?
No, the SpaceX. I think I know a Rocket Man actually.
What? You know a Rocket Man?
Yeah.
RU is so hooked up. Yeah. I love the verbiage of this suit. Violations of antitrust, unfair competition and racketeering laws, and an unlawful conspiracy to eliminate competition.
And by eliminate, they mean launch their bodies into high orbit.
All right, man. We are here with Trademark,
yes.
Otherwise known as Trademark G or DJ Pantshead. And he's with the Evolution Control Committee, or ECC. Many of you folks are probably familiar with, if nothing else, Rocked by Rape, with award-winning vocals by Dan Rather.
Since retired. I like to think of it as we won that one.
Yeah.
Dan backed down.
Yeah, and the album that comes from is called Plagiarization Nation, and the ECC, they have been committing copyright violations for the nation since
I think we like to say it as since it was difficult.
I see. And
it was easy.
It's your patriotic duty as an American to listen to this man. How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this for 18 years. Can you believe it?
Yeah, in one form or another. Surprised to see that on your website.
But we actually have been using the name. Actually, you know
that
what? This may be the 19th.
An adult.
This may be the 19th year now.
No, actually, adult.
I got my confirmation that I'm adult yesterday. We actually bought a mattress and paid real money.
And had it delivered?
I'm definitely grown up now.
You are grown up.
It's being delivered right while I'm here, right now.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really grown up now. I lost all my punk rock points on that
you
one.
You have your own mattress. You know, if you're going to go soft, next thing you know, you'll be recording for
if you
Warner.
Leave it on
but
the
regardless,
floor.
Now, the Evolution Control Committee at 19 years old is probably old enough to have kids. So I'm pretty happy about that. Yeah.
That's cool. So, I mean, how did this guy start? Where did,
we
were in Columbus,
we were
Ohio?
Doing, yeah, in Columbus, Ohio. And
who
it's
knew?
You know, Columbus yeah. actually... is not a bad scene. It's big enough. You know, it's where Ohio State University is, so they've got the big university there. And there's enough people there. There's like well over 1 million people. I think it's like 1.5 million right now or something. So there's enough people there that there's a good audience for what you're doing, and there's enough space there to really start what scene you may want to have happen if it doesn't exist already. So, you know, even though copyright violation was not exactly the... you know, the hit thing at the time, we made a bit of a name for ourselves and, you know, built up our rep. We weren't doing copyright violation
and
stuff from the beginning.
You were doing live performance kind of stuff, right?
We've always
right
been from the very much yeah. about live performance. Yeah.
How do you guys respond to cease and desist actions?
Oh, well, let me just bring up an example.
I don't know if you guys, that was a question.
Jumping ahead, but that's fine.
No problem. No. Well, of course, you know, you opened the show talking about Rocked by
Rocked
Rape,
by
which
Rape,
is
sure.
which yeah. features Dan Rather on lead vocals, backed by
Beautiful.
A collage of AC/DC riffs, or breaks as they are now, excuse
Since
me.
Since it's been appropriated by Daily Show guy...
right. Oh, that's
what,
there.
The AC/DC
Steve Colbert?
No. The black guy. What's his name? I forget. His last name's Black.
Louis Black.
Louis Black.
Oh, so he uses
Back in Black. He does that because you guys shifted the riff. And they did the same thing. And his segment's
gotcha.
Called Back in Black.
Okay.
And
sneaky.
You know, like that.
Well, anyway,
smell a lawsuit.
A cease and desist notice.
No, we're not that.
An illegitimate grandchild.
We're not bitter. No, actually, so here's what happened. We had put out this single, and this was actually put out by Eerie Materials in a San Francisco label, since defunct, since they moved to Guam, and not as a result of this lawsuit, by the way.
Okay.
So they were really into 7-inch singles at the time, and they had put out a single of ours called, it was Rebel Without a Cause, or better known as the Whipped Cream Mixes. The Whipped Cream Mixes combined Chuck D of Public Enemy, his vocals, over Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Remember that Whipped Cream and Other Delights?
Sure, and I remember your mix, actually.
Okay, the proto mashup, as it were, or whatever, was the first single that we put out with them. And then that did very well, and they asked us to do another one.
Okay.
And we wanted to do something that was like, well, kind of similar, you know, one oddball vocal over a different, you know, unexpected bit of music. And so we decided Dan Rather was the man. And so we watched the news every day, cutting out the violent words that Dan Rather said. Or rather, not cutting them out, saving them, actually.
Selecting,
clip them out and save them on computer, building up a file, eventually in only 3 weeks, actually, of 6 full minutes of Dan Rather violence. It was just all phrases like murder, mayhem, a tide of violence and human misery, torture, suffering, you know. The,
and then, of course, the chorus
hidden
line.
Nazi next door.
The chorus line, time to bug out.
No, right. Time to bug out.
Did he
time for
say
us
that?
To bug out. Yeah, he did.
Time for us to bug out.
It was like the, you know, there's like I got to learn the
some
format.
Beautiful things.
You know, the sad thing was
Dan
watching the
Dan.
News. I got to learn the format so well. Like it opens up with Dan, you know, talking head for 10 seconds, doing the teasers. Then there's the intro theme and everything. He does about 1 minute of talking. They go to the, you know, and so on and so forth. And then always at the very last, very end of the each episode is like a 1 minute feel good story. So that after, you know, 29 minutes of horrible torture and blood, you get the little feel good story about insect research or something like that. Right. So this
and
one
now
was.
Now the warm fuzzy.
Yeah, right. And the warm fuzzy that time was insect research and, well,
right.
time for
to
us
bug
to
out.
Bug out. clever, Dan. You're real hip on the street. So anyway, the. The title of the song, Rocked by Rape, I didn't edit that. That was a straight phrase that he spoke.
What was he referring to?
The Pentagon today was rocked by rape allegations following... Yeah, so...
Too much.
But he actually said it. And, you know, it really stuck in my mind. I mean, why wouldn't it? You know, right. Think about that. You know, you're watching the news, and Dan Rather tells you, rocked by rape. You know, maybe out of context, but still, it's a weird, strong phrase.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to leave your head. That's just going to echo around in you for a while. So it did for me. And so I clipped that out, and that obviously became the chorus or whatever there. So,
But this attracted the attention of CBS.
Yeah, so on to the legal problems. Well, so what happened was Erie Materials put out this single, and it did okay, but didn't do amazing right off the bat.
And it wasn't until...
It was actually out for a full year, before we got our cease and desist letters, and that came after a good review in Spin magazine. And once that Spin magazine hit the streets, man, so did the lawyers from CBS. And they sent us cease and desist letters they sent ours by email to the band. And then they sent registered letters to the label. And I can't remember if the pressing plant got one too. But regardless, we got these cease and desist letters. And it was like, well, what are we going to do? You know, this was back in 2000, right. I think 2000. Or January or something. So this was, long after, say, for example, Negative Land had gotten their legal hassles, but before, Danger Mouse did the Grey album and a lot more modern examples. So there hadn't been a lot of things that we could go on to really know what our chances were if we were to really press that.
Not a lot of precedent, no.
Yeah, so... what we had to do, well, we just knew, first of all, we don't have the legal budget. We can't really take this to court.
Right.
We would love to. Maybe we could if we, put my house on mortgage or something like that. I'd rather not do that.
No.
And we didn't, but we did wage a minor war in the press. And so we were lucky enough to have the help of some PR groups that to help get the word out. And then we did end up getting interviewed for a number of articles that were more sympathetic to our side of things. And as a result, then, I would get mail from people who read the articles who wrote to CBS in our support as well.
Oh, that's bad.
And so they would never get any response, of course, but we didn't get any response either, which is kind of a good thing in this case.
Went away.
Yeah, what I mean is that it just went away. We never had any further dealings with them.
Is it true they used it for a Dan Rather roast?
It is true.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's just perfect. Full circle.
Here's the story
on the end of the roast.
Right? Yeah, it was, I'd never got to see it. I really wish I would have, but another couple of fans did happen to catch it on C-SPAN. And for the longest time after that, it was like, we got play on C-SPAN.
That's
how many
so
bands
good.
Can say that?
Better than MTV, man, yeah.
And there was a roast for Dan Rather for Spina Bifida. And apparently at the end of the roast, they had like this video montage of Rather goof-ups or something like that.
I'm dying to know who produced that roast.
Guess what the soundtrack was. It was our song.
That's amazing. So it passed his ears. I wonder if it penetrated
the watchers, the people who watched it, they said Dan did not look very impressed.
Confused, I would guess.
Yeah.
You sense that has this song gotten a lot of college airplay?
Definitely, It did both then when it was first released on 7-inch and then years later. This is only 2 years ago or whatever that we released Plagiarism Nation, and it actually got re-released then. So, it definitely got more play then, too.
We're going to pause for a moment and listen to something from Plagiarism Nation.
Plagiarism,
but rhythm.
Plagiarism Nation. I'm so sorry. But
no problem.
We could try.
You should have heard Dr. Demento try to pronounce it.
I was wondering what Demento had to say.
So, and I should probably play Rocked by Rape because we've been talking about it, but everybody's kind of heard that one. Or if you haven't, you can go find it. And I'm going to play my personal favorite, I Want a Cookie.
Are you serious?
Jack, there's a girl in this boxcar.
Why not?
Doggone female riding a freight train.
Yes, I am female. A dangerous female. So watch out.
Do you ever feel angry? Are you paralyzed by your anger? Do you feel yourself with butterflies in your stomach a lot? Do you get headaches? Are you really frustrated? Do you ever get to the point where you're going to blow up and you're afraid that if you blow up, you're going to blow away all your friends and all your coworkers? Chances are, all of this behavior is a symptom of the fact that you're not expressing your anger. We can assertively express our anger if we handle our anger assertively. We complain and complain and complain. I'm angry. So what do? I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. Really sorry? Did I really do something bad? Why am I apologizing? I don't think I'm always wrong. Do you? Do people push your buttons? Are they telling you that you're too fat, too aggressive, not nice enough, or just hard to get along with? Are they telling you that people who grew up in Connecticut are stupid? Do they tell you that you're weak? Are you simply the person who gets the sand kicked in their face? Negative, negative, negative. Now you're angry, and now you have something to say. Wow! I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want rage. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want a raise. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want a raise. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want a raise. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie.
So you guys,
hey, you know, one thing, by the way, if I could interrupt, you know, if the listeners did want to go and hear Rocked by Rape, definitely go to our website, and you can actually check out the video if you go there. Oh, so they can actually do better than what video they would otherwise hear on the radio here.
Yeah, I really enjoy the video with, what was that corny new wave band from the 80s?
Spandau Ballet.
Oh, yes!
We did one. For the listeners that don't know, we did Spandau Filet, cutting up Spandau Ballet. And we did the song, actually, on the CD on Plagiarism Nation, and then did a video later to mirror it. To mirror the cut-up.
It really brought out their dorkiness even more than they do themselves. So I noticed you guys are have stuff now on Sealand, so you have a direct relationship with Negative Land in this way. And were they an influence on what you did?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. No debate about it. Yeah, I was actually just doing a top 12 albums of my life or whatever that someone on MySpace wanted to pass around. And Negative Land's Escape from Noise figured right up there on top. There's Escape no doubt noise. In my mind.
Helter Stupid. I was just re-listening to that. What an incredible piece.
I mean, it's
actually a great piece of music.
It really is.
It has this build to it.
You know, I remember that coming out. And at the time, I knew I was really into them because that was right after Escape from Noise. Right. And so I was nuts about them at that time. And so I knew what, you know, Helter Stupid had on it even before I listened to it. And now going back to listen to it, though, I can really hear, you know, just what a piece of work it is. And it is a piece of work.
It's an awesome, like complex, almost like a work of jazz or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Escape from Noise really influenced me in terms of like Cut Up and stuff. Yeah. Because before that, I was the work with the Evolution Control Committee was more, I don't know what you want to call it, novelty songs maybe? I always hate the word, but it was more original work. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just immediately ties you to that, which, but it was like, I'll leave you to judge that as whatever you want to do that.
Some great stuff.
But regardless, though, it was more original kind of work, if you will, that is less sampling and so on. Right. Because sampling at the time, this was in the late 80s that we were starting up, that we were really kicking into gear. Right. And it was... Sampling was not an easy thing. This was the work of, you know, gods in the electronic music department of whatever university. This wasn't the stuff that the average garage band could pull off.
Well, imagine these avant-garde artists used to do audio collages with tape recorders and stuff.
So
like
did
that.
We.
That's
how we had to start.
Started out that way. Yeah.
The one really great one that we found. That is exactly what we were doing, except in cassettes. And we were crash editing cassettes. We found this great cassette recorder. That was a bit of an older one with still older mechanical controls rather than the newer soft touch solenoid controls. Yeah. So, you know, with the mechanical controls, you could actually do a pretty good sounding cassette edit at the time.
It's amazing. You really could.
Yeah.
You were talking about gathering material earlier. You were talking about how somebody was gathering all these clips about pants for your DJ.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of that? I mean, how do you
all the time.
Have lots of sound available?
Well, 10,000 records is a good place to start.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, any other place you can come up with. We gather things all the time, you know.
Do you start with like a word or a concept and then say, let's just accumulate a bunch of samples? Is that usually how you work? And then
sometimes. It depends on what the nature of it is. But, you know, we of course, we love to just have every goofy, weird record that we could find in the thrift store that has to do with music education or how to practice kung fu or anything like that.
Right.
And at least that gives you a great basis to start off with. And then, you know, once you start getting some ideas from there, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. Last year we did a soundtrack to Nosferatu, the classic silent horror movie.
Yes.
Okay. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to have a soundtrack that would be a live DJ soundtrack, and it would be only composed of music and clips from other movies' soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaws, you know, the Sound of Music, or whatever. Ooh, the soundtrack albums from all those movies became stitched together as the soundtrack to Nosferatu.
And did you perform this somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. This was performed at the Wexner Center for the Arts last year in back in Ohio, actually.
Right.
And this is actually the second time we've done a movie like that. But, you know, having a basis of records like that is essential. You can't just go out to to Amoeba or whatever and expect to find all the bits and pieces that you want, and you don't know whether the contents are going to be what you're looking for.
I'm going to start finding things to send you guys now.
Please do.
Do you get a lot of that? People sending you stuff?
Yeah, we do.
And you find it useful?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you still using primarily vinyl with your performances? Or do you...
Because
you know, now they have great, you know, like Final Scratch or whatever.
Right.
So you got like a vinyl interface and you can...
You know what
plug
we got?
MP3s
we got the cheap version, which is Miss Pinky. this guy came up with this system, and it's the same sort of thing, except you have to supply all the hardware. You know, Final Scratch wants to sell you their whole package deal or whatever. This guy like came up with the whole system where it's just the software and two pink records, which have the time codes on them. And but it's fun, and it works in Max MSP. So if you're a programmer, which I am, and I can tell you a bit more about some stuff relating to that later, but Max MSP will let you then use the scratching in whatever context you want. So you could scratch not only MP3s, but video. QuickTime.
Awesome.
You could scratch your filter sweeps over your effects of the sound.
Nice.
You could do all sorts of fun things.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
One of the areas that you got material from, you went into Napster and you found this stuff that...
Yes. Napster.
Explain that. I mean, I assume people had tried to throw that away, right?
I didn't...
Exactly. Default, yeah. Default's greatest hits. Talk
about
that.
I just handed him the CD here. This is a proto of this CD. It's called Default's Greatest Hits. I probably should have saved that as the punchline for the explanation. Here's how it happens, or happened, I should say. This was back when Napster was big the first time. Napster had become, you know, the peer-to-peer software that everyone had been waiting for, right, and everyone was using. You know, there was like, I don't know, how many millions of users at the time? 40 million people or something using it regularly?
Phenomenal.
So what we found was that there were the way it was set up, Napster would accidentally share home recordings you had done on your computer. Or I shouldn't say accidentally. It really was the user's fault.
Incomplete takes.
No. What would happen is that people would use the Music Match software to record their MP3s, right?
Right.
So they could record it from the microphone or whatever. And then that would have a default file name. It would be like a MikeInTrack1.mp3, MikeInTrack2, or whatever like
right.
that. So then Napster, I don't know if you remember, when you first used Napster, it would ask, do you want to share all the MP3s on your hard drive?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then it would go through searching your entire hard drive and sharing everything.
Yeah.
Including your home recordings. And so all you needed to do was to go on Napster and do a search for MikeInTrack. And any MP3 with that in its title is one of those recordings.
That's awesome.
You know what we got?
That's beautiful.
All kinds of amazing.
Everything.
Everyone's, what was one of your favorites?
Everyone's bad karaoke attempts. Everyone's guitar practicing sessions. Spiteful voicemail to ex-girlfriends.
Ooh.
Funny, ridiculous, sublime, and wonderfully personal stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we are. You were talking about how we collect things and so on like that.
Like,
you
know, an audio to thrift found stores. Magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
and this
cool.
was, you know, here it was that instead of going to the thrift store and finding a cassette tape of, you know, someone's birthday party from 20 years ago, and it's always from 20 years ago because that's how long it takes for someone to, you
get
know,
to the garage sale.
Yeah, right. For it to get thrown out of the house.
Or like photographs. Yeah, like old photographs.
Exactly,
you find
right.
Yes.
You know, and so suddenly we had this chance to actually find this kind of material completely current as of yesterday.
That's
current
beautiful.
As of last
so
week.
You guys recognized
the gold mine
and
beautiful.
Then went and
oh, we
and
were addicted.
Have you have you found any other areas that other
you
people
know,
have not thought of?
And, there are, and actually there's one that's still current. In fact, I brought some
Ooh.
Papers here that are from, this is
They're
something that I'm kind of surprised more people haven't latched onto. Wow. But what these are
I've
got
around.
These documents here that are Microsoft Word documents. And they come from, these are
Uh-oh,
doing...
Oh, it's a ransom note. He's demanding.
Oh, wait.
These are doing,
the door's
these
been
are
locked.
From LimeWire, but you can get these from Kazaa or a lot of file sharing networks. And it's the same sort of principle. They're all reading theirs right now. And they've all got different
great.
Ones.
Can I read mine here? I mean,
absolutely. Go ahead and
yes,
read it.
Oh, yes, please
yeah.
read yours.
Dear Nathan, I got your letter and I'm doing fine. My teacher's name is Mrs. Sasaki. Well, I broke both of my arms a few months ago, but now I have both of my casts off. I got a new dog. His name is Barkley. He looks exactly like Parker did.
Can
you know,
I read
okay,
mine?
Now, you know how I got that? The way I got that was searching on Kazaa for dear.doc. Uh-huh.
Oh,
you know how Microsoft Word saves a document and it uses
the first
line
letter.
You type
yes.
as
Absolutely.
The file name?
Yeah. Yeah.
All these things are like, you know, dear
right.
diary.doc,
so
dear Nathan.doc.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Are you
read
yours? Read yours, because
okay,
his
okay.
ends with love.
Dear Gerald, how are you doing? There is a lot of things going on. Do you know that a airplane crashed in Queens? Gerald, when you come home, I am going to hurt you to see who is stronger. Gerard said, what up, and are you still coming to the movies when you get back? And Merry Christmas. Love, Angus family. Angus family.
I love that it ends in love. Mine says, Dear Chief Wary,
The Vernon Township Police Department has in their possession several items that belong to me. Each item has sentimental value to me. I would appreciate having them returned to me. Items as followed, and they're numbered 1 through 6. Silver single-shot bolt-action rifle, complete with serial number. 12-gauge white shotgun powder, Wonder circa 1904, unknown antique. 30-30 Winchester rifle with case serial number, also given.
Sentimental value?
Firearm purchaser card issued in 1972 to myself in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And finally, a Co-H revolver replica, serial number left unknown. Thank you for your cooperation. Very truly yours, Ronald J. Mutashik.
Sentimental value.
I love their guns, man.
Yeah,
warms your heart to hear stories like that from the internet,
isn't it? And in the Vernon Township. Yeah.
But that's there is a sweetness to seeing these kinds of real, naked expressions, as it were.
Wait, actually, can we keep these?
Absolutely.
Can we post these?
There you go.
Oh, we must put these on the wall.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Well, listen, we're almost running out of time, but we're going to have you back soon. Tell us a bit about the DJ Pantshead. How does that differ from your other project?
The DJ Pantshead stuff is more dance-oriented stuff or whatever. Nowadays, mashup has been the term to kind of describe our stuff. Mm. And we're quickly becoming a mashup band, even though we never knew we were one for 18 years, even though we've been doing that for
Are you okay with that moniker?
I love
mashup?
It. Yeah, I'm totally fine with it.
Fits what you're doing? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we actually have been really embracing that. And we like seeing that all really become more and
popularized
more popularized.
And somehow not. There hasn't been any serious legal action with most of this stuff, right?
No. No. It's been interesting to see come up, but my thought on it is really the music industry is busy worrying about other things, peer to peer file sharing and everything like
they
that.
They just somehow haven't gotten
just
it together.
They've just forgotten about sampling.
I think they've been threatening though. They talked to MTV boy. What's his name?
Old VJ,
the podcast,
Adam Curry.
I remember him saying on a show that somebody was telling him they were gonna start coming after
mashers.
But anyway, on that happy note, we're gonna have to leave you all behind. But Trademark will be back very soon. It'll seem maybe like a couple of months to you, but it will only seem like a few minutes to us.
Serious. Remember the last time we talked about this old body of ours, Bob?
Yeah, I remember, Dad.
No. Well, now, to begin with, it's, penis.
Yeah, I know that already, Dad.
This organ is one of the most wonderful examples we have of how... son, to do anything knowingly to make it come is a very grave sin.
Oh, I don't get you.
You know what happens when you stuff yourself with cake and coke until you're ready to pop.
Sure, I get a stomachache.
You bet. Food tastes good, so that we'd be sure to get our vitamins each day. Sperm, as the doctors call it.
Oh, but, Dad, that's wrong, isn't it?
And don't let me catch you monkeying with mine for another couple of years yet. Here's the important thing to understand now. All those changes in our bodies which make a boy into a man, it ejects a fluid which contains the seed or the...
Golly, Dad.
No, Bob. Well, what I'm talking about now is... one of these nights, before very long, you may find that sometimes before men are married... in spite of modern medicine, nature opens a sort of a...
Well, you mean that...
Something like that. So, but...
Gee, our bodies are complicated, aren't they, Dad?
Oh, you bet. More complicated than the biggest dynamo ever built.
Oh, but, Dad, why do fellas get these...
Now, that's a good question, Bob. To begin with, this business of... Men begin to feel it occasionally, as soon as they start to grow up. But always remember this, son. I did when I was a boy... You will, too.
Golly.
So, but now here's the important thing. Sperm tastes good. It's good. as long as it's hard. Get it?
I got it, Dad.
Fine. You mind if I smoke in your room?
Oh, I know, Dad.
For those interested in the Evolution Control Committee online, just go to the website evolution-control.com or just Google Evolution Control Committee.
I'm here with Zara with the Bay Area World Can't Wait Committee, and they're calling on people to mobilize on November 2nd, coming right up, to drive out the Bush regime. So, Eli, tell our listeners what you're doing.
Eli and Zara are going to be doing this.
Sorry,
Zara's here to talk about it.
Zara, yeah. Tell our listeners what you're doing and why you think they should participate.
Hi. This is a national movement to actually mobilize millions of people to drive the Bush regime from power. We're saying that waiting till 2008 is too late. Bush is taking this country in a very dangerous right-wing direction, and he's not going to be stopped by public opinion or polls or anything, because he seems to think he's on a mission from God, and he has a base of support of people that are what we call Christian fascists, not ordinary nice Christians, but the kind of people that want the Bible, their version of it, to be the literal rule of the land. They're the kind of people that back up this abstinence only and the rule of the Bible. So we are saying we have to mobilize millions of people, not just wait for the Democrats to finally possibly do something, but actually drive this regime out.
It seems like the regime is doing a pretty good job of collapsing on its own lately. You think, I mean, is this a good opportunity to sort of kick them while they're down?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we should take advantage of this opportunity. I think it would be very dangerous to just say, oh, well, they're collapsing on their own, we can just sit back and relax, because it's proven itself to be very resilient. It's had other scandals around Halliburton, the war going badly in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they've bounced back every time.
They do seem to rise from the grave.
Zombies.
Slithering monster of some sort. Now, once we get rid of the Bush regime, presumably this will probably be done not by a revolution next Tuesday, but in 2008 by an election. What we'll probably get is somebody like Rudy Giuliani or John McCain or Hillary Clinton, just as authoritarian in their own way as the Bush administration, but just less psychotic and therefore acceptable to a wider group of people. So once we get rid of the Christian right, then we still have some problems, I guess, right?
Oh, that's true. I think we're not going to just sit back and say, okay, everything's fine. People will still be in struggle. We'll have a new energized movement among the people that is no longer willing to just sit back passively and wait to be told who to vote for, but people that actually see that they have a role in changing history. Just like in the Ukraine, people drove out a regime in Georgia, Bolivia. We're saying, why not do it here? Just because it's never been done before. It's very necessary.
Okay, and why November 2nd? Why did you choose this date, and why should people get in touch with you and be part of this, and tell them how to get in touch and how to be part of it?
Okay. We chose November 2nd because it's the anniversary of his so-called re-election. It'll have been 1 year. We're calling on people nationally to gather in main areas. At this point, there are about 40 different places around the country participating. In the Bay Area, we're calling on people to come down to the Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco. One way they can get a hold of us is check out our website, which is worldcantwait.org. There's no punctuation. It's just worldcantwait. And we have an office in San Francisco at 2940 16th Street. It's also known as the Redstone Building. And we think people should participate. They should take the day off school. They should go to school, but then leave school with their friends. Don't go to work and come down and be a part of this. And we want people, to quit their jobs for a couple weeks and be part of building for this before November 2nd, too.
All right. Well, walk out on your job, walk out on your school, join our friends here, and listen to Mondo Global Radio. All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you.
so much for listening. And don't forget, you can go to our blog and give us feedback, and we will actually pay attention to it, because we're needy like that. We'd like to thank Trademark G of Evolution Control Committee for joining us in the studio today. Our gang of three, once again, Are You Serious, Diana Brown, and me, Jeff Deal. You also heard I Want a Cookie and Sex Re-Education by Evolution Control Committee. Next week, our guest will be Burning Man legend Larry Harvey. The Are You Serious show is part of the Mondo Globo Network at mondoglobo.net and areyouseriousradio.com. Subscribe to all of our shows at mondoglobo.net. Thanks again for listening, and don't be afraid of the dark.